That's about the people who've somehow dodged the bullet. How is this guy still in a job? Can someone explain to me how you get absolutely mullered? People walking around, people missing the ball. Two of the cheapest goals you'll ever see. And yet somehow this guy, with all respect to Ole, is still in a job, because it perplexes me. This guy's run has been so poor, and he's got the world-class players, changes his formation at every single whim, and allowed people to take liberties. And yet he's still in a job. The board is still comfortable with him. How can someone explain to me? Explain to me, Carlos, because I'm perplexed.
Well, I think that the fact that he is a hero from the time that he was a player,
of course,
has given him a lot of credit. But have a look at Chelsea. They had an even bigger hero.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard. And they sacked him.
The record goal scorer.
Yeah.
Lampard is a legend. He's won everything with them. And he's scored more goals than anyone else in Chelsea.
And they didn't bat an eyelid. They didn't.
They just threw him away.
They threw him away. But Man U are reluctant to do so. And they could pay the penalty, because they could miss out on the Champions League next season.
Not without a shadow of a doubt.
Now, what I think has been evident over the last few weeks is that Solskjaer is not the manager you want when the situation becomes tense. And when things are stretched to the limit. Because deep down, I think he's panicking.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
I think he's panicking because, as you said, he's making changes. Changes in his tactics, in his first 11. And he's letting players get away with murder.
Yeah.
Too many players not performing. Now, at least he got rid of Pogba.
Yeah.
Which I think was a first and important step to take. But there are other players who I think are underperforming and are not putting in a shift.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the formation changes are over and over again. And looking at the team, some people just need to be dealt with. The Fred situation is horrible. I just don't get how he gets a game every single time. Wan-Bissaka has seemed to have picked up a bit. That by his situation, he's completely lost confidence. And that's of Ole's doing, just like with Van der Beek. We've talked, you know, everyone's talking about Van der Beek's situation. But if you don't play a guy and then you suddenly plonk him in, of course he's not going to play well. Of course he's going to struggle. You put him in one of the biggest games of the year for you guys at home, and you expect him to be brilliant. He's not going to be brilliant. McTominay, we like him. Fernandes, we've talked a lot about him, how he's underperforming with Ronaldo in the team. Obviously, we talked about off-air about other pundits talking about the fact that without Cavani in the team, there's no real drive. Unfortunately, Cavani was injured. But it's just painful to see how disorganized they are. And every 5 minutes, the formation change. So here it's 3-5-2. And, you know, that obviously didn't work. It's the Atalanta game was very bizarre as well, because the Atalanta game, if I can get to it, was Atalanta. We know their situation, right? They leak goals all day long. I don't know why. I don't know the full ins and outs about their situation. But they're 3-5-2-4, the game against Man City, 3-4-2-1 against Atalanta. Why are you not sticking to a formation and just making sure that you have the players that you want in? I don't get it. I'm very confused how you can keep changing formation and for your players to actually get it.
As far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't be a problem to change your formation, because I think that every team should be able to play at least two different formations and comfortably slip into one or the other during a season. I don't think a team should be limited to one single formation. You have to have your main one, but they should be comfortable in playing in a different formation. The issue here is, if you see the lineup against Manchester City, it's obvious by looking at the 11 he sent out that he was terrified. He was terrified of Manchester City.
Yeah.
It's a 3-5-2. But look at this. You've got your three central defenders. Mm. You've got your two wing backs who are full backs. They're defenders.
Mm.
And then you've got, of the remaining three in midfield, you've got two defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
So you're talking about seven defensive players.
Mm.
And then you've got Greenwood and Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes, who should be linking between midfield and the attack.
Mm.
But if you consider as well that of the few attacking players, two attacking players, one creative midfielder, Greenwood is not much of a runner.
No.
He normally runs when he has the ball.
Mm.
And Ronaldo is even 10 times more guilty of that than Greenwood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the prospects weren't good from the start, were they?
No. I mean, look, the Ole situation will rumble on. And even now you go on the channels and they're still talking about him, and why basically everyone's perplexed why he's still got a job. Do you think he'll last to the end of the season?
You know, in normal circumstances, I would say no. Because any Man U manager with not just the defeats, but also the manner in which the team has been defeated would have gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got more lives than a cat, hasn't he? And even though he seems to be running out, there still might be enough lives left for him to reach the end of the season. Mm. It shouldn't happen, because I don't think Manu will improve that much. So it shouldn't happen. He should be on his way fairly soon.
Mm.
But they haven't made the decision yet. If they haven't made it before the international break, it means they're not going to make it now. Mm. They're not going to. They're going to give him a few more games. And then, do you really want to change your manager in the middle of the Christmas program?
Yeah.
So, you know, he might make it into the new year. And once that happens, who knows? You know, you win a couple of matches and then you get extra credit. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the funny thing, I'm usually quite robust about this guy getting sacked, or this guy or that guy. But I agree with you. I think even listening to some of the most ardent pundits who are former players for the team, no matter what happens with the situation of Ole and the team and how bad they are still backing him. And they're saying he needs time. And I think that their reference point, funnily enough, ironically, is Mikel Arteta, is the fact that he was given time. He should have been sacked, let's be honest. He's had a bad run at the end of last season, bad run at the start of this season, even after all the buys, but he stuck with his guns, he stuck with his players, and obviously Arsenal have turned it around. Obviously they're one game away from obviously falling apart again, but the fact of the matter is that he's turned it completely around. And the fact of the matter was that Ole got them second last year. They're obviously not going to get second this year, but I think he will make it till summer. I think he will. And I think if they get Champions League, I think he'll stay.
Mm, mm. Yeah, very possibly.
It's a sensitive issue. You can't just sack a guy who's a legend. You know, Mikel Arteta, I think about Arsenal now. If Patrick Vieira got the job, or Thierry Henry, but more likely Patrick Vieira, if he leaves Palace and Mikel Arteta takes the City job when Pep leaves, there's no way they will sack Patrick Vieira. They'll never do a Chelsea. They would never sack Patrick Vieira without having a full season. Never. It's impossible.
Yeah, I agree. And that would be to Arsenal's credit, in the same way as you've got to consider that it's to Man U's credit that they are being steadfast and that they're being patient, because very often we criticize clubs for making rash decisions, but acting too quickly and not giving managers enough time. It's true that Ole's been in the job for a while now, but at the same time, you've got to think this is the man who joined United when they were mid-table, more or less.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And he took them to second place. So he can't be the disaster that some people are claiming that he is.
Yeah,
I think he's got something, and he's probably able to turn things around, but there are some underlying issues there that until they're addressed, I don't think Ole or anyone else will be able to get United on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, they were at one point even fine for the title, but like you said, some fundamental things need to change. But look, we've talked in length about them, the players, the formation, the rest of it. How does he turn it around? That's my final question on the Ole situation. Does he need someone of experience coming in to help him? Does he need a change of the staff person? What does he need? Does he need Alex Ferguson coming in and going through? What does he need to turn around? Because he clearly can't do it on his own.
Well, as I said, there are many aspects that need to be addressed. And I would mention maybe a couple. I would say last season, you've got to look at what has changed from last season to this season.
Yeah.
In order to get an idea of why things have deteriorated. Now, last season, Henderson was playing in goal.
Yeah.
People will look at some of the saves that De Gea made in the first half against Manchester City. I think except for one, which was good, all of the others were saves he had to make. If he hadn't made them, there would have been terrible goalkeeping mistakes. But the fact is, when you have a goalkeeper who's stuck to his goal line, how many times a match does the ball flash across the six-yard box? People are looking at Maguire and the other centre halves and saying, you know, they're doing badly, they're not doing their job, they're off form. But when you have a goalkeeper who doesn't do what he should be doing, that makes their centre halves lose confidence. It drags them out of position as well, because they have to go into the six-yard box to clear balls that should be the goalkeeper's. When you have a goalkeeper who often makes a save that just gives the opposing forward a second bite at the cherry, again, the defenders lose confidence. So they're worried not only about what's going on in front of them, they're worried about what's going on behind them. So when you look at Manchester United conceding so many goals and the defense looking so bad, you've got to see where everything starts. And I think it starts with the goalkeeper.
Oh, I mean, that second goal, it beggars belief the way that... I mean, you cannot even talk about Shaw. It was horrible.
The second goal against Manchester City.
Yeah.
The first goal for Atalanta.
Yeah.
Two consecutive games. One of the goals against Villarreal in the Champions League. The list is endless. And it's not just the gross goalkeeping errors. It's the smaller things that maybe people don't notice that I think are making Manchester United a very poor defensive team.